whatever the period is after injury to referral. Although there is a little quirk in there that for people referred from 19 to 24 months, the cost was down to $975, and I don't know if there's really an explanation for that other than we just don't have enough cases yet. There were only 7 cases that fell into that category for the DVR claimants.
But what does it say, the one after that, 24 months and up?
Then from 25 to 30 months, it went back up to 2,332. So for each breakdown a month period, it was increasing up until that 19 to 24 month period. Although the same thing happened with the survey of 188 cases. So I don't know if some funny thing happens between 19 and 24 months, but
So, 18 months, wait a month, but for
cases referred from 31 to 36 months, which was the longest time period I was able to get a breakdown on that, the cost for the private rehab was $2,198. For DVR, for 31 to 36 months, it was almost $2,500. The DVR cases tend to be, they tend to send their claimants through college-type training more often. And that would tend to explain, I think, some of the cost increase difference there. 21% of their cases in fiscal year 80 were receiving college training, although that has been a decrease from 1978 when there were 38% receiving college training. I have some success rate statistics from DVR based on 73 referrals in fiscal year 80 which were closed that year. That doesn't mean that they were referred that year, just that they were closed that year. And of those, 61 were eligible cases and 33 of those were successfully rehabilitated, which doesn't mean necessarily that they were placed back in the labor force. Some of them were considered closed successfully if they were returned as home laborers or some reduction in cost was then be gained by the insurance carriers. That would also be considered successful rehabilitation. So that was 54% successfully rehabilitated of the eligible cases.
Do you know what percentage of that? How many of those were returning to work success?
Most of them were. I think all but 3 were. And we have an average weekly wage for people that had, for eligible people that went through the rehabilitation process. For all eligibles, that was $266. For those who were successfully rehabilitated, it was $338. And this is for cases, again, closed in fiscal year 1980. The average rehabilitation cost for the DVR cases was $1,915 in fiscal year 1980. It's increased a lot since fiscal year 78 when it was $1,172. And for eligible cases, the cost in fiscal year 80 was $2,280, and for successfully rehabilitated cases in fiscal year 1980, it cost $3,505. So the 13 or 12 ineligible cases just brought that average cost figure down.
In your cost analysis, what's all included in that?
The cost included cost of all training programs and counseling time by the rehabilitation counselors.
It's not cost of the compensation also by the
No. Success rates for surveyed private rehabilitation company survey of 188 cases that were closed between July 1, 1980 and July 31st, 1981. 91 of them were classified as successful due to rehabilitation company involvement, and that amounts to 48% of your cases referred. Now, there's a bit of a problem in some of the definitions, because what's happening is the private companies have their own set of defining successful rehabilitation that differ slightly or in some ways depending on who is either recording data or when it's recorded as compared to DVR, which has its own form that it goes by for recording success. So, I think it gives you at least an approximation of success, although you have to keep the qualifications in mind. They also, the private company also reported 13 successful cases, which they weren't able to say for sure was their own involvement. A lot of the times, they might be counseling people. The people are on their own, and there might be some encouragement there, but they don't know for sure if they can say that it's their own work that has gotten them these people back to work. So they classify that as general success. And then they had 84 other cases that they broke down in terms of evaluation only requested from the carrier or lack of cooperation by one of the involved parties until the case got closed, or the company requested closure because costs were not warranted that they were paying for. And then they had another category. We also tried to get to the other major private firm in the state, and we had some problems going through their files because they weren't very well organized. And what we wound up doing was taking 100 randomly of cases that were closed with injuries after 1976. And when we initially went through all those files, we found that at times there were, it was totally unclear what the company had actually provided to the carrier and what the costs that were being billed to the carrier were for, what was the result of the case, even when the case was referred after injury. So what we did was we just put down what insurance companies these cases come from and went to the carrier to go through their files to see if they had better information, which they did. But the only bit of data that we got out of that we felt had any reliability was the period between injury and referral, which was about 9 months, which would have been higher if we had considered the injuries before 1976. And a similar figure for the other survey from the other private company was 11.8 months. So the difference between the private and DVR was about 7 months more for DVR. And I think it was brought up before about some of the confusion and misunderstanding in the rehabilitation records and what the carriers know that the rehab company is doing. So we wrote a couple of notes from the files just to give an example of what some of the recommendations are that carriers are receiving, or what other notes were in the file. So one was just in a supervisor looking through a case to get a sense of how the claim adjuster was doing. Said, how can you as a manager assist and evaluate anyone's work if a plan is not developed and documented? And another case, rehabilitation counsel recommended that the carrier settle a claim and encourage reemployment. And the bill in that case was about $450. And on another case in which the bill was about $600, there were recommendations to obtain medical records, obtain DVR records, and make final recommendations. So essentially that, when we went through those files, we just found it very difficult to get any real information about what was going on, because there's not a central source. A lot of this will be coming out when we get to report. So
thank you very much. I appreciate the information you gave us so far. Can we have a copy?
Sure.
And we'll make sure you get it. Right?
Sure.
Any questions? Lieutenant Bonson and Lieutenant Rogers?
Yes, sir.
One
minute.
1 minute, I think some of the members get covered and got to get back at one.
I didn't intend to testify today. To reintroduce myself to the committee, my name is Dick Cadnell. I'm president of the Workers' Compensation Committee of Alaska. We've testified for this committee before. We testified for representatives of Rogers Committee last year. And I would first like to start by commending the committee. I think we're on a very well-balanced session this time. And I think you've seen from all the comments that there are problems out there. And there's some serious problems with workers' comp. I would first like to start by offering the Workers' Compensation Committee of Alaska's efforts to help resolve those. We will meet with the committee, we'll meet with any other representatives to help resolve these, so it doesn't have to become a political battle on the floor of the House. Secondly, and I think the only other reason I am testifying, is that I do not believe 159 represents testimony that's been given at this point. Instead, I think 159 represents what was left of 159 last year, almost verbatim, with a few other things added. Now, I think that that does a disservice to all the individuals that have testified at this point. I'm not sure if we're trying to legislate by staff. I think that the committee should take a little more concern and control over the drafting of this legislation, because it's really an embarrassment. We fought over these issues last year. There was no testimony really on these this year. John Lewis is looking at self-insurance. He's looking at control groups. And basically, no testimony was given on that. Yet, there's a lot in here and there. Mrs. McClintock indicated that this year, on her 5 points, she was not going to fight the issue of benefits and compensation last year, that she was willing to live with that. Yet, it's replete in here. Not that it shouldn't be addressed. I'm not raising that. But I think there were some serious issues that were raised by employers, by employees, that were never touched in here. So I think that perhaps we would all be better off if we gutted 159 as it is here and spent more time looking at the concerns that were presented to the committee. And I would suggest, Representative Martin, that you so address that issue to the staff that are addressing, that are drafting the bill.
So, thank you. One more. I just wanted to respond in part. I think that even though Jackie's not asking, for example, for getting the consistency in the benefits and compensation language, and even though there's been nobody coming in demanding that, I think that to have a good workable statute, we need that kind of consistency. So I would hope that, for example, some version of that, and I think the problem of connotation on benefits needs to be addressed. Maybe we need to come up with another word to put in there. I also think that you may not have heard the chairman at the beginning say that what is in that committee substitute at this point are the suggestions that have come up, and the committee obviously has taken no position on any of those. There have been no votes in the committee on any of those sections, and some of them, in fact, in one section directly contradict something that's in another section. And so I think the attempt, what you see as a committee substitute, is more of a compendium of proposals which are still under consideration, rather than seeing the nature of the committee substitute.
Well, my point, I guess, really is that seems to represent more of the issues presented last year than the issues presented this year. And maybe this is premature, maybe there'll be a great deal added to this. I really don't know the process that well. But if this is what we're going to start with, and this is the bill that's going to be introduced with your gentleman's name on it, I don't think it really represents the views of many people who have testified at this point.
That's not correct, the rest of it. I did not put that right in the original legislation I put in this year. I think we did discuss about deferring it, because I later saw in how we said we were going to I think my explanation was, particularly from the administrative side, it was recommended to be a very small input. Yes, right. Yes.
There's no one out there. Our program this afternoon is virtually going to be with the legislators for the first time sitting down with the Board of Workers' Compensation and get some good understanding of their problems and frustrations with it. And more or less just be an open discussion with them and legislators. You're welcome to attend, but it's not going to be that much of audience participation. And then it is our intent to get this all together, and then the second week of January, that I'm going to make this a major project of the Labor Commerce Committee to get something meaningful through. And tentatively right now on our schedule, we have the 20th of January, that week there, which will be all the work that comes. Thank you all very much for attending. I appreciate it.